This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
What?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's Eisen?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you slightly offended that you were only a $400 clue?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Bills head coach Joe Brady, Academy Award winner Casey Affleck. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Wow, what a fun hour three we have in store for you. Casey Affleck just walked in the door. He's in our green room getting ready to come out here, the Academy Award winner, to chop things up about his New England Patriots being in Super Bowl 60. We've chatted with Daniel Jeremiah and Tom Pelissero, both from the Senior Bowl. If you missed anything, don't worry. We've got you covered through our podcast, all 3 hours, however you get your podcasts. There's our Disney Plus channel page on Disney Plus or the ESPN app. You can watch all 3 hours back whenever you want, certainly over the weekend. And then there's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. But before we get to anything else, let's bring in the 21st head coach in the history of the Buffalo Bills. Kind enough to join us, Joe Brady is here on the program. Great to see you. How are you, Coach Brady? What's going on?
Not much. I appreciate you guys. Excited.
What's going on in your brain these days, man? What's going on?
I wish I could describe to you what's going on in here, but it's everything I've ever wanted right now in the place that I wanted to be. So there's zero complaints.
Yeah, I mean, perma smile, huh? Pretty much
everything.
Pretty much. And what was that moment like for you at that press conference, Joe?
Yeah, it's one of those things, right? You think you have an idea what that's going to look like, and you have whether you have a speech prepared or. And then when you get up there and it kind of all hits you, right? I'm so fortunate for the opportunities that I've had and the places that I've been, and the unique element of this place is I've worked here, so I know how important the people are, and I know the city, and so it really, I mean, we had a staff meeting right before, and I got just as emotional talking about Buffalo, and then I go up there and I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe I got it out of the way and. Get up there again, and I think about Buffalo, and you know, when it gets me again, and so, you know, it was obviously an incredible day yesterday. I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity, but I'm so grateful for where I get to do it.
Yeah, I bet for sure. And you know, before we get to the you know here and now and the immediate future, I kind of want to rewind here a little bit. So, did Sean Payton give you your first start in the National Football League? Right?
He
with
did.
The Saints,
yes.
Joe, and who connected you with Sean Payton?
He's actually the offensive line coach now in New Orleans. He was a coaching assistant, Brendan Nugent, and he was getting promoted to the assistant O-line coach. And you know, I was a graduate assistant at Penn State, and Nugent actually was one of my coaches quickly at William & Mary.
Right.
And so I remember I interviewed down, it was 2017, Valentine's Day, 2017. And next thing you know, I got an opportunity to get, like I always talk about, I got my master's at Penn State, but I got my doctorate. I don't actually have a doctorate, but I got my doctorate in New Orleans, and getting to work for him and completely changed my career.
Well, I mean, obviously getting an opportunity there is one thing. What did you pick up from Sean Payton that you think you might bring to the sideline here in Buffalo?
You don't have enough time right now. Look, I got an opportunity. What's so unique about Coach Payton, and I got an opportunity to see how he ran his organization, how he sat in his in like a lot of times you work for a head coach, and I hope I'm not this way where I come up with ideas and then I just pass it to the quality control coach. They draw it, but they have no idea maybe why we're doing what we're doing. Like I got to sit there. Don't get me wrong, I probably lost years out of my life for the amount of hours that you spend there, but it was so unique and so such an experience to see one of the game's greatest minds, how he comes up with things. And I'm literally watching his mind work and understand what he thinks and how he thought and how he attacked not just weaknesses, but, finding ways to get your strengths against their weaknesses. And then just you take it from an X's and O's standpoint, and then you bring it to the locker room and in these meetings. And he's obviously learned so much from his, Coach Parcells, but just has such a great pulse on the locker room and the team and like what they needed. And I was only able to have, don't get me wrong, I had incredible football players at LSU, but I was able to have go in there feeling confident that I can, install an offense and call a game because I saw kind of Coach Payton and learned how he kind of did everything.
Did you really have outstanding players at LSU? Because I'm just looking here and seeing Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase just for three.
Yeah, it was just coaching.
You just rolled the footballs out, right? But what was that like, man? What was with Coach O? That must have been something else to be where you were, 60 touchdowns, Burrow, pointing to his ring finger, some of the best that we have seen in the NFL, young players all together with you helping, put it together. What was that like, man?
Well, I mean, it starts with Coach O. Like when you really think about it, I mean, he's LSU's head football coach, and he goes and hires a coaching assistant, a guy that's never even had a room before. It wasn't like I was the quarterback coach at LSU in New Orleans, right? I'm the assistant to the assistant, right? Like Drew Brees, if I didn't get him coffee, but if he needed coffee, I'd probably be getting it for him, right? And next thing you know, he's trusting me to kind of change the landscape of his organization. And I try to put myself in those shoes, like, would I have been able to do that? Like, would I do that right now? That speaks to the volume and kind of who he was. And he was consistent with it all the way. He literally said, hey, this is you. You kind of do what you got to do, man. I trust you with it. And I was able to do it with Steve Ensminger out there. And I knew early on, like all of those guys were there the year before. But they bought into everything that and Burrow kind of, he obviously ran the ship there. But once you got a feel of kind of who they were and they tasted a little bit of success and felt that the newness and the energy, I could have called anything and they would have made it work.
Well, I mean, you could have called anything, and blamed it on Coach O because no one could understand him, right? Like, were there ever times when you're just like, come on, say that again, Coach, because you couldn't understand a word he was saying?
Joe, if you want me to be honest, please. when Coach, I got a text from Coach O, was like, hey, I'd love to talk to you about, an opportunity down here. And I remember Googling how many, like, what's the polite and correct way to ask what on a consistent basis, because I was really nervous of it. I watched a couple of his press conferences, but then once you're around Coach O, man, exactly what he means. He says what's on his mind, but I was really concerned about that because, I mean, he's Louisiana, and this is me living in New Orleans, but look, I have so much love for Coach O and who he is, but I still don't know what that answer is. Fortunately, I was able to pick up a couple of his words, but it's the truth.
That is so funny. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Joe Brady here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so let's get to the here and now. Your relationship with one of the best of all time, and a human too, man, in Josh Allen. Walk me through what your relationship is with him, Joe Brady. How do you describe it?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's hard to kind of put into words. And he's the best in the game, right? And we're all good coaches when we coach good players. I'm understanding of that, but he's helped elevate. He's changed how I coach. He's changed the mindset and the way that I go about when I prepare and the confidence I go into in games. And you understand, I was let go in Carolina. I was let go in Carolina 12 games into my last year there, right? And so I'm coming here and I give Coach McDermott so much credits for. Like, I can't thank him enough to give me the opportunity to kind of lead his organization. Like, when you coach Josh Allen, I mean, that's the organization. And it meant the world to me because I'm coming from a place where I was, man, I just got let go. What's this look like? And Josh accepted me and accepted coaching. And our relationship has just grown where we can be completely honest with one another. We don't agree on everything. We can butt heads. We can hold each other accountable. But we know that we each love each other. And all we care about is each other's success. And I want Josh Allen to get everything that he deserves. Like, that's why I do what I do. I see the way that he plays the game. He plays the game the right way, the way that he should be hosting trophies. And that's all I want from him. I mean, look at that right there, right? Like, I'm seeing him stiff arm guys. Like, he's a quarterback. And it drives me crazy every single time he takes a hit or he does a stiff arm, but it is who he is. And I love that man. And I just want him to have all the success. And I just hope that I can just do everything I can to get him everything he deserves.
Now, listen, McDermott's awesome. And I understand when I just went through this with Jesse Minter yesterday when I chatted with him, that when any questions how you're going to do it differently might put you in a position where you sound like you're denigrating your predecessor, which you don't.
Right.
So that's my way of setting this up. but, you know, I'm imagining, you know, McDermott clearly delegated lots to you, but not 100%. I mean, head coaches have final say on a lot of things. How will things potentially be different now that you have the final say on everything, Joe Brady?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just understanding and like I said it yesterday, I'm walking into this organization in a much better way, in a much better position than when Coach McDermott did. And the expectations and everything that comes with it. And we have to embrace that. And we got to work for it. There's nothing that's going to be easy about it, but it can't just be Sean McDermott out, Joe Brady in, and then it's just business as usual. And, I think that's important for everybody to kind of understand in the organization that, there's going to be a different energy and a different vibe by the way that we do things. And that's not changing the culture. That's not, saying what we did wasn't working. But that just saying that, hey, there needs to be a different element and a different mindset so that we can ultimately get what we want and, what the city of Buffalo deserves. And there's going to be change. And I think the guys are going to feel it. And it's important that they feel the different energy and the vibe, in the off season when they show up. And I hope that my hope is that the team takes on the identity that I believe our offense kind of did last year of everybody playing together and caring more about the man next to them success than their own. And I'm excited that this is the time of the year where you don't get to be with the guys and it's going to drive me crazy. So I'm grateful that the new coaches get to come in early. So, cause we coach because of our players.
Have you reached out to Keon Coleman?
Absolutely.
Can you share me the conversation and how he is? Because was he front and center for a lot of conversation prior to your hiring and based on, you know, the press conference that announced the departure of Sean McDermott, Joe.
Yeah, there was a little part yesterday we had yesterday, and I told him exactly what I told Keon. I told Keon that the best thing that's ever going to happen to Keon Coleman is that I got named head football coach. And the same guy that stood on a table and wanted Keon Coleman is the same guy that's going to be doing everything he can to continue to get Keon Coleman to reach the level that we know he can. And, you know, he's going to be a Buffalo Bill. And look, obviously there's elements of, you know, conversations from a couple of weeks ago, but, just like, you know, people talk about like, hey, what's the change in vision? I just kind of talk about the direction that we're going. And, with Keon Coleman, I have all the faith in him and he has all the talent and when he continues to, the only thing that got in the way this year was some elements off the field and, he learned from him and, it's going to be, I'm really excited for him to kind of get rolling with him again and getting in the chemistry again with Josh, but he has all the talent and everything that we drafted him to be. I believe he can still be. And, the fact that I'm the head football coach, I think is the best thing for him.
And why is that? Like what put a little more meat on that bone, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is like, I'm not going to let Keon Coleman fail. And I know he's gone through some things. And as the head football coach, making sure that I have a system in place, you know, in understanding, you know, some of the things that have gone on with him. And, but he's an extremely talented player and all I want is for him to be successful. And you see the big playability and the opportunities that he's had, and him not playing or him, not being on the field was not because of his play. Just putting a system in place. And I think no matter what, even if we do nothing, he's going to be better because of this year and going through this stuff and not having an opportunity to play football. But the confidence and belief that I had in him and have in him isn't going to change. And we're going to do everything we can so that he can be successful.
So, and one other aspect of that press conference, Joe Brady, that stood out was the owner, Terry Pegula's clear disappointment in results. Obviously, you know, it's a result oriented business.
Yep.
And you know what the results need to be in order for this to be considered a step forward. How do you handle that? How do you absorb that and also send it out as a message to your group?
Yeah, I think, there's a standard here in Buffalo, and there's expectations here in Buffalo, and we're going to embrace it. We're not going to shy away from it. No one rises to low expectations. It is what it is. I'm not going to work any harder than I would have been if I was taking over a 1-15 team. There's an expectation, there's a mindset, there's a way that I go about things. And I don't feel like I have to change who we are, who I am, because now that I'm in the head coaching role, this is the same work, the same approach that I had when I was working for Coach Payton, when I was a GA for James Franklin. And I believe in my ability to lead and put a team together. And we're not going to focus on the end result. We're just going to have the competitive stamina to just keep going and every single day. And I think the results will take care of themselves.
So I would be remiss before I let you go, Joe Brady. When you were in Carolina, you mentioned 2021, and you were let go in the middle of that season. Sam Darnold was there. Mm. And look who's in the Super Bowl and Super Bowl 60. What's your opinion of Sam's ascension and where he is right now as we're talking, Joe?
I couldn't be happier for him. It was such a unique situation for him going from the New York Jets and then his experience there, and then going to Carolina, and we kind of walked into the exact same situation. And I remember we started 3-0, and he was you can tell it was a different look on his face, hadn't been used to that. And but he has all the talent in the world, and getting in an organ, going in some of these organizations that has so much belief in him and allow him to just be Sam Darnold. And look, man, I have nothing but love for him. I'm so excited for him. He deserves all of this. It speaks volumes to a guy like that, has gone from organizations, has been doubted, has had to been a backup and gets the opportunity again, makes the most of it and has to go do it again. I mean, he's been doubted and he's got an opportunity to go hoist the trophy, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Man, this league, that's the only thing I could say, right? This league that you wind up going to Carolina after you have that success. There's remarkable success at LSU. It doesn't work out for you. And in 2021, you're let go. Darnold has one more year to go in Carolina. And here we are, January 30th, 2026. He's the representative for the NFC champions going to the Super Bowl. And you're the 21st head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And probably neither of you would have believed it if either of us walked up to you and said, "Don't worry, man, Joe, you're let go here. You're going to be the Bills coach in 5 years." And right. Sam, get it. You might feel like this isn't working out right now. You're going to go to the Super Bowl in 5 years. It's, you can't make this up.
No, you can't. You can't. And I think that's why you don't think about, you just be where your feet are, do what you have to do. And if you're concerned about the next move or what the future looks like, you're not going to do the best job you can be in your current job. And I had to call it a step backwards. I got to kick Coach Josh Allen, but I wanted to call plays immediately. And I needed to humble myself and say, "Hey, I've been in one opportunity for so long, in the same system, in the New Orleans system for so long. I need newness, and it might open doors for me to be a part of something and open my eyes." And I think Sam was the exact same situation, going out to San Fran, what it did for him, and when he got those opportunities again. So I'm so excited to watch him play next week.
Well, and I'm excited for you, Joe. I mean, talk about a position. In Buffalo, going into a new stadium with a fan base that just adores the team and vice versa. And you get to coach Josh Allen, which is a dream come true. And you're already connected to him in a way. And I think he's even going to be better when he's a dad. You know what I mean? This, it changes your life and it changes who you are as a professional. And I couldn't congratulate you enough. So congrats, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right, man. I'll see you at the combine.
You got it.
All right. Wait. And neither of us are paying. I'll see you there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Take care of yourself, Joe. You be well.
I appreciate you.
Thank
you.
Joe Brady, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. You know what I mean? You're coaching Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. They're going to a new stadium. Expectations are really high, though.
For sure.
There's no question about that. No doubt about that. All right. Let's take a break and bring Casey Affleck out here to chop it up about the Pats.
Oh.
How do you like them apples?
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
In our TV-only segment with the man who won the Academy Award for Best Actor in Manchester by the Sea, and he is a diehard Patriot fan. Thrilled to have here Casey Affleck. Brother, you must be over the moon about this team, right?
It's exciting. Yeah. It's exciting because I didn't think it was going to happen this soon.
Right.
It's hard not to gloat. You guys... But I feel like in light of how Belichick has been treated, and I know this has been covered exhaustively, sure. But it gives a little bit more room to be proud. Do you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's, you know.
Treated with the Hall of Fame stuff recently, yes, or just in general through the years?
They're connected with the Hall of Fame stuff. Okay. But that, I think that's connected through how he's been thought of and discussed through the years.
Right.
You know, it's. I don't mean to say that it diminishes in any way Bill Belichick.
Right.
It diminishes a little bit the institution of the Professional Football Hall of Fame, I think. A tiny bit. If anyone gets tarnished,
yes,
it's that institution. Now, Bill's is sitting at the top of the mountain.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's got the wins and the rings and the... He's got all of it. He's got the GOAT saying he would pick him,
yes,
to be his... So it's not that. What it does is it tarnishes a teeny bit. I don't know who those people are, that committee, but I think it makes them look political and petty. It seems like sour grapes. And so it gives a little bit more room to be happy and proud, you know, and not to feel bad about being in the Super Bowl again.
Well,
again.
Yeah. I caught that one.
Another one.
I caught that one.
Another one. Because
it does, there are shades of 2001 all over the place with this team, with quarterback in his second year. Okay. Although, you know, he's a third overall pick, not 199. Yeah. Vrabel's in his second spot coaching. So maybe learned a little bit about his previous experience, bringing it to bear in this new experience here. And there's an NFC West team that they're facing in the Super Bowl that everybody thinks is going to spank them.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are for Super Bowl 60. Kind of feels like shades of 2001 a little bit here.
Could be, knock on wood. Those are big shoes to fill. You know what I mean? I think I've coached.
Yes.
I coached some flag football for my kids in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be a first ballot Hall of Fame coach? Is there something we need to know?
Not yet, but I'm good with that.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
what I would say to the Patriots, yes, what I have told my kids, the team that I coached, I prioritized team culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't all. I like to have the same kids. I had them for 12 years of coaching. Right?
Jeez.
Same group. It was great. Sometimes, and we won a lot. Now, sometimes at the start of the game, you'd be in our flag Super Bowl, and you look across the field, and there's big kids. You know, they're bigger, they're faster, obviously.
Okay.
They're stronger, they're older. I would say to the Pats now, if no one's asked me yet.
Please, I have now officially asked you. The floor is yours.
I would say what I said to them many times, which is, look across there, you see those kids? They're Sam Darnold, these guys more experience.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are bigger, they're fast, they're strong. But who wins the game is not the team with the best players. Who wins the game is the players with the best team. We had the best team because we had been played together for a long time. We had good energy, good spirit. I think the Pats have a winning attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a there's a good spirit about them. You know what I'm saying? You want to root for this team despite the long legacy. Everyone got sick of them winning so much. Now people look at that team. Even people who are Pats haters look at that team and they want to root for them. I think that's what they have going for them.
Who are those Pats haters who want to root for them? Have we met any of them? who are those people?
One right there.
Get out of here. Ooh, me? You're talking to me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You have been denigrating my desire to constantly talk about how good this team is, which I do all the time. I do all the time. 100%.
Gotta see it. Gotta see this. Gotta see that.
Well, I'd say that for every single team. I say, and all they've done is win games. Now, I don't think Sam Darnold is going to pull the pin on the football and flip it up like a grenade like C.J. Stroud did 2 weeks
ago. He might be forced to.
Or chest pass it like, you know, Jared Stidham did. But those were in the face of pressure that the Patriots defense is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
They're a different unit in the last month than we saw in the first 18 weeks of this season. You know, Milton Williams coming back is pretty big. You're like, this is the real deal, you know?
Can I ask you a question?
Please, Casey.
In the last game they won, they deferred. At the top of the game, right? Yeah. If you knew that the weather was coming in,
yes.
You knew that, maybe you've talked about this, I don't know.
Go for it.
You knew that there's a giant storm coming in. Everyone can see the forecast. It's right on the edge of the stadium. You know you're getting snow in a minute.
Right.
Right, before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to have the ball first so that you can score and then just play defense, count on your defense when it's a storm and there's ice and snow and no one's going to get very far?
Right.
Why did they do that?
Because they're the Kings and McDaniels at the, you know, at the if you will, forefront of the Belichick era on offense after Charlie Weiss, you know, moved on. They're the Kings of scoring right before and after halftime. That last 4 minutes of the first half, first 4 minutes of the second half, if you can possess the ball in both spots, score touchdowns in each situation, you can blow a game straight out. You can come right back. You can do whatever the heck you want. And they were the kings of that. Brady was the king of that.
Yeah.
Brady was the king of like, oh gosh, he gets the ball with 30 seconds to go. He's going to at least get Vinatieri a shot at three. Or at the beginning of the first half, 100%. After the adjustments, they're going to sit. You're going to put McDaniels and Belichick and Brady in a spot where, well, I'll give you 15 minutes to figure this thing out. You know, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened all the time. I just think that's why, pretty much. But obviously, you know, the snow coming in did change some things. But Casey Affleck here on the Rich Eisen Show, where are you going to watch the game? Do you know? Like, what's your plan?
A friend invited me up to go see the game.
Are you going
to
go?
Friend Todd. You know, I'm supposed to be working the next day in London. I don't know how I'm going to pull it off. I think I'm going to go to the game.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch it at home on the couch with your kids. It's kind of the best place to see the game.
Right.
But I've never been to a Super Bowl with the Patriots, so I'm kind of really tempted.
Yeah. This is their 12th.
I know.
And you've never been to a Super Bowl? You never went one with Brady? I never
went to a football game as a kid. No one ever took me. The first game I went to was, I was like, you know, 30.
No kidding. Yeah. You never went to Foxborough as a kid and you ever sat on those bleacher seats? Nothing.
No. Huh. I don't think my mom knew what football was.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. You've hung with Brady, I imagine, at some point, right?
I talked to him just recently. It was the first time I got to meet him and talk to him a bit.
Okay.
And Bill, actually, and Gronk. I met Bill, Gronk, and Brady all separately in the last month or two.
The last month or two?
Here's my experience with Bill.
Okay.
I was doing a commercial, Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Yes, sir.
I used to show up and do a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brady had been on one.
Yes.
And that opens the door. You're like, that's fine. You can do anything if he's done it. There's no shame in it. I show up there and Bill is in the commercial with me. And Jordan is in the commercial as well.
Oh.
And
Jordan is his
Michael?
His girlfriend. Okay. Yeah. You thought Michael.
That was,
No, okay. Not Michael.
Okay.
No.
Very good.
And he was really nice, super friendly, nice guy. We chatted a little bit. He was open to doing anything in the commercial. And then it was lunchtime. I went to our trailer. We shared a little trailer. Like, we each have our own little room and bathroom, but the walls are paper thin. I'm sitting there eating my lunch. quietly, and I can hear every word in the other side. He is monologuing his analysis. I can't remember what it was like. It was like the Bills, Colts. What was the game? It was like the playoff game. I don't remember who it was.
Just recently, you're
last
talking?
Year. It was last year.
Oh, okay.
No, last year.
Okay.
And he's doing an analysis. I don't know who he's talking to, but it was brilliant. And I mean, this is the guy who says three words after a huge game, goes to a press conference, and is very gruff and
right. You
know, says nothing. And he didn't stop talking. There's no ums, no ahs, no maybes. It was just a steady stream of analysis about the game that was, you know, I don't know that much about football, but right. I was like, this man is really, really brilliant
there's
about
nothing,
the game.
There's nothing. I've been fortunate to be around him talking ball. There's no one can. I would sit there listening to him talk about ball in a certain five-dimensional way. And I thought to myself, he was still coaching at the time. I'm like, how does anybody ever beat him?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine there's obviously terrific coaches, great coaches. His institutional knowledge of the sport and his ability to boil it all down to the matchup and then take advantage of each and every one of them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then all of his teams were situationally brilliant, all of them, where a ball would be rolling down on the ground, 31 other teams would have players just walk back to the sideline, plays over. A Patriot picks it up and runs it in for a touchdown. It's like, oh, that was a fumble. You know, like that would happen over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume your flag football team was the exact same way. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, you sure did. So then the sour grapes, it must burn. It does it feel like a great wrong has been done to you?
To me?
Yeah.
How so?
Not done to you, okay. But does it evoke that feeling in you of like, what a shame. What a shame that he wasn't inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's going to get in, but no. The fact that he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer is absurd. It's absurd. There's just no other way you can slice it. And I understand there's a conversation about the process and how many people could vote for or who's in the same bucket of voting with him. Was Kraft is one of them and three other guys who are going in as a veterans committee grouping, only three of those five could go in, and some people didn't vote for Bill, which is...
Do you think they didn't vote because they thought he was just a shoo-in, or do you think there was...
There are some who probably thought, well, others will vote for him, so I don't have to. I'm going to vote for these senior committee members, senior committee finalists who never get really up for a vote, so I'd rather get them in, and Bill will get in eventually, or someone else is going to take care of the vote for us as a collective this year, and... He wound up not getting. And then there may be sour grapes of some people who are just like, I'll show him. Or some writers are like, he was rude to me once. I don't know. I'm ascribing something that I'm unfamiliar with.
I hope it's not that.
Me too.
You got to let that. When the game's over, you got to just celebrate the game. I saw John Hamm come on your show.
Yes, sir.
He's an example of someone who doesn't do this well. John, he's a buddy of mine. He's a great guy. He's a Cardinals fan.
Yes.
He comes on and he made a remark that Boston fans were insufferable. So what there's nothing insufferable about winning. You know what I mean? What's insufferable is jealousy, bitterness, and resentment, right? You have a winning, it's not the fans, not their fault that they have winning teams, they're good, great organizations.
Yes.
But to be a Cardinals fan, you lose in to the Red Sox in 07 and 2013, right? You lose twice, you're John Hamm, you're watching that, you're frustrated. Then you get your moment on the great Rich Eisen show, and you just badmouth the fans of the Red Sox.
What are we supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do? Not root? Not cheer for our team?
Not be happy when our teams win?
What was that about? Were you here when he said that?
Jealousy and envy.
It was jealousy, bitterness. He's a great guy. I played on a baseball team with him.
Okay.
He was all right. I think he's better than that remark, is all I'll say. I love him, but he's better than that remark.
Here, here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The selling this with Casey's just throwing darts.
And the same should be said for this committee that they voted. They're better than that. They made a mistake out of jealousy, right?
Agreed.
But there's that quote about committees. It says, in all the parks in all the cities, I've never seen a statue of a committee.
Casey Affleck, everybody.
Thank you.
Do you feel you got that off your chest?
Yeah, thank you. I'm done with that.
Ham's been here many times. Was that like a 5-6-year-old grudge that we just saw worked out here?
I think it was probably 2024, which was,
recent.
11 years after he lost the Red Sox, and he's still thinking about it.
I don't know, because did he say when he shot the town with your brother that he got a bunch of crap, a bunch of grief, and Fenway Park or something like that? Didn't he say that? We heard about.
Doesn't he wear the Cardinals hat everywhere? He was wearing it at a Cubs World Series.
Yeah.
Nobody gives Cardinals fans any grief. Nobody feels like they're their rival. Nobody's upset. You can wear a Cardinals fan, right? Doesn't upset anybody.
Well, the Cubs are their rivals, but I mean, I guess they don't pay him too much mind. Okay. All right. So what's going to happen in Super Bowl 60, Casey? What do you got? What do you think? Your heart of hearts. What do you think? Drake May, by the way, didn't throw today.
He didn't practice at all.
He didn't practice at all, right?
Illness. He was sick today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Illness. Hold on. So we got the soundbite. Here. Oh, here's this little soundbite for you. You ready? Roll it. Go for it.
Mike, any thoughts about Bill Belichick not getting into the Hall of Fame in first
place? Oh, I'm sure Bill will get in.
Pardon me. We gotta get another one on here.
Re-rack.
But apparently he was talking about Drake May not being able to throw today.
What kind of illness?
I don't know.
Great question.
Maybe sick and tired of people denigrating Bill Belichick. Maybe that's the sickness.
It was an illness, not an injury.
Yeah.
He just has a cold or something.
I guess so. Oh, so what do you think? Heart of hearts, Super
Bowl 60. I think he'll be all right.
Super Bowl 60. What's going to happen?
I want to predict with passion. I want to put energy into the underdogs and the kid rising to the occasion. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. Meaning a win.
A win.
Super Bowl win. Yeah. With you maybe even being there.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just partying till dawn. With Drake May and Milt Williams, and then going off to London, heading off to London. I haven't partied
until dawn in so many years. When was the last time you partied until dawn?
College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Oh, God, no. Bless you for that. I appreciate that. No, it's been a while. But that's what happens. But you've done Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
Like you go out afterwards, right? There's a post-gathering. That thing goes till 5 a.m., 6 a.m., you know?
I guess so.
Right?
I can't remember. That was a few years ago. I don't remember seeing the sun come up, though. I don't remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not for a while. Well, I know that. I told you last time when I saw you just a couple weeks ago, the vanilla nut tap bit that you did on SNL was something that we had to stop our boys from doing to each other for weeks on end. That they would just hit it. I would be in a room, my wife would be in a room, and all of a sudden we would just hear a scream. I'm like, what happened? And like, Dad, he gave me a vanilla nut tap. Right.
Does that make me a hero to your kids?
100%. 100%. You must love doing stuff like that, though, right? Like
fun stuff like that?
Well, I mean, where you're kind of drawing upon your upbringing and your who you are and your DNA.
Yeah, playing like all the kids who tried to, fuck with me when I was a kid. Having the last laugh, what it's called.
So it's not your first ever vanilla nut tap of your existence, pretty much what you're saying. Well, thanks for coming here, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming down here. Let's stay in touch. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Your safe journey. May your flight to London be, happy.
Land.
I guess, no. May your flight to London have the jet stream behind it.
The Super Bowl win is what
I'm saying.
Thank you.
May that be the wind beneath your wings. Casey Affleck, Academy Award winning actor, diehard Patriot fan, and who knew, champion flag football coach right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back to wrap it up. In a moment. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Hi, it's Charlie McAvoy from the Boston Bruins.
Charlie McAvoy wins it in overtime.
Watch as we take on the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 2026 NHL Stadium Series in Tampa. Catch all the action on Sunday, February 1st on ESPN. Visit nhl.com/stadiumseries for tickets and more information. That's nhl.com/stadiumseries. See you February 1st. The NHL Stadium Series is coming to the Sunshine State.
This episode is brought to you by Credit Karma. When it comes to your money, Credit Karma keeps you ahead of the game. You can count on Credit Karma to keep up with your financial needs as they evolve, helping you monitor your progress and giving you personalized recommendations so you can make strides towards your goals. Make sure you're on the right track, no matter where you are on your financial journey. Intuit Credit Karma. Karma you can count on. Download today.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai Hope on Wheels is something I've been talking about for months because I love it. And you should too. If you don't know about it, when you visit HyundaiUSA.com, search it up and learn more about how for over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. And we finish up this show and this week with top five Super Bowl bye week headlines presented by Hyundai.
High five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Rich's top five.
All right, my top five Super Bowl bye week headlines presented by Hyundai. There are many coaching hirings, but number five on this list is the Bills stayed in-house. That they tell Sean McDermott, he's out. We need something different. We need some results different. We're sick and tired, says Terry Pegula, about the 13 seconds of the missed field goal or what happened in Denver. And we're just going to stay with the offensive coordinator. We're going to stay with Joe Brady, who we just chatted with earlier this hour, an absolute delight, and we will see what he can do. But the Bills staying in-house is number five of a Super Bowl bye week headline. Number four, is anything up with Drake May's shoulder? What is up with Drake May's shoulder?
No idea.
What is it? And today, he did not practice. Mike Vrabel had this to say.
Quarterback, he wasn't spotted.
He did not practice. No, it was illness and shoulder.
Illness? I'm sorry.
Illness and shoulder.
Is there any more concern for him, Mike, than you've shown so far?
No. I mean, again, we've had a lot of guys over the last month or 6 weeks here with the illness. And, you know, so, again, trying to do what's best for the player and the team. You know, try to take care of guys. Don't spread anything, but, you know, again, we've worked through that here for the past 6 weeks.
So he would have practiced today if not for the illness?
He would have been at practice today if not for the illness.
He would have been at practice today if not for the illness.
Like, at.
I know, exactly.
At
I practice. Think the illness is sick and tired of talking about the shoulder.
I do not love coach's body language.
I think illness is the reason why he wasn't practicing. Shoulder is... We have to say it because there is something up with the shoulder. This might move up the headlines next week.
When do I start getting concerned?
Not yet. Number three is the Browns job search yields a Monken. Okay. Okay, Browns. We got you.
Yielding Monken.
He could be awesome. Who knows? Or he could just be Dick Geron 2.0. Don't know. But this is not what Browns fans were thinking about. But guess what? It could be all good at the end of the day. Number two on the list of the Super Bowl bye week headlines, Bill Belichick is not a Hall of Famer. How in the world did that happen? What in the holy heck that Bill Belichick is not a Hall of Famer? That's number two of the headlines of the Super Bowl bye week. And you'd think this would be number one, and it would have been number one, if I was not a video clue on Jeopardy tournament. That's number one.
What's Eisen?
What's Eisen is just what? I'm a who.
Which Eisen is right.
Thank you. Giving me a new great drop.
What's Eisen does sound like Paul Rudd's fantasy name.
What's Eisen?
Yeah.
I mean, what? Come on. What gives? I'm a who. Damn it. Give me one more. Why not? I'll give you one more right here on the program. And that's,
you have one more.
Thank you.
I did not know.
That's my boy. Jalen Hurts has a new OC again. We've updated the board now. Shane Steichen is the only back-to-back offensive coordinator Jalen Hurts has had since leaving high school. It is unbelievable. Look at this screen. Jeez. Sean Mannion, you're on the clock. It's your time in the barrel in Philadelphia, how you're play calling and what does that mean. Year in and year out, it changes. And every other year, you either go to the Super Bowl and lose your offensive coordinator to a head coaching job, or you change it of your own volition. That wraps it up. Chat next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.